Well, how often have you put your trust in something beyond yourself to get you to a destination? If it's a physical place you're trying to get to, maybe it's, you know, Google Maps, you do some research, or it's the map app on your phone, or you stop by AAA and you get the maps, or you're maybe get the directions from someone else. But what if your destination is not a physical place? Maybe it's psychological or spiritual. We just want to be in a different place. So you have to trust those who may be directing you there as well. Maybe it's a special guide or a counselor or a therapist. Maybe it's in some author, some person that you're reading. Maybe it's some scripture. What are we putting our trust in? Are the sources that we're looking to, whether we're physically going someplace or maybe in a spiritual way trying to get someplace or whatever, what are we looking to? As we go through Hebrews chapter 11, this is kind of what we're talking about here. It's this walk of faith. We're seeking God. And we're looking at all these people here that become testimonies of people who just stepped out in faith to follow God. The one thing is true is biblical faith is not blind faith. But who or what our faith is in, it's an objective faith. What is the object? What are we putting our faith and trust in? So as I said, Hebrews 11 is a collection of people who put their faith in God. Because he showed himself over and over and over who is someone who is worthy of their trust. God gives promises. And then he calls us to step out and own it, to make it ours. We'll look at three different parts today in Hebrews chapter 11. And the first one is in chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, where it says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." A promise for a place, a promise for land. Abraham is the person of our focus today. And if we want to go way back to the beginning, it's in Genesis chapter 12, where God comes to Abraham and puts a call on his life. It says in verses 1 through 3 of Genesis 12, it says, "The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And we come to see as we read the story that Abraham was one who consistently trusted God, taking him at his word, following his directions, even when there was nothing to see, and even more so when what could be seen pointed only to what seemed impossible. It says Abraham just up and left his homeland, left everything he knew, went out into the unknown. He stepped out. It's not like he could even say to his relatives, I'm moving to Texas, I'm moving to Idaho, like everyone else. I wonder back then if they were moving to Texas and Idaho as well. But he just left, didn't know exactly where he was going. But let me phrase it this way. Abraham did not know where he was going, but God knew. God knew where he was leading Abraham. And that's kind of the point. We may not know, but God knows. "Go to a land I will give you as an inheritance." And what's interesting is that Abraham got up, he got to that area, And even though he gets to the area, he never owns so much as a foot of land, except for the burial plot for his wife, Sarah. He moved from place to place all the rest of his life, living in tents. And the same would be true for his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob. And all three of them died not having seen the promise fulfilled in a complete way. Yeah, the land he settled in was Canaan. But it would not be until generations and generations later when the 12 tribes of Israel entered the area again under the leadership of Joshua that they were able to claim the promise and make that land officially theirs. So how could Abraham do that? By faith, he saw what was not yet visible. Not yet. And here's the thing. I think faith enabled him to see so far that it went beyond looking at just the land of Cana itself to the eternal city in heaven. Abraham was able to see his real home. It's a place, a city with real foundations. See, tents only have pegs and are pulled up and moved. Earthly cities have walls which over time crumble and fall. But to this heavenly home, Abraham was looking forward with the expectation of personally seeing it one day. I think the reason why he was able to step out and walk out and trust as he did is because God gave him that ability and faith to see beyond just what he could see, you know, in the physical reality of where he was at that point in time. Then it goes further, verses 11 and 12. It says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. By faith, Abraham was enabled to become a father. Why? Because way back when in Genesis 12 it says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And you know what? He was 99 years old. Sarah, his wife, had never had a child. Verse 12 in Hebrews 11 is right to the point. He was as good as dead. You know, thanks a lot for those kinds of words, right? He was as good as dead. But from him came a son. And then from him, the promised descendants that would become ultimately, as countless as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. See, physically, all Israel counts as its beginning is all, they all counted back to Abraham. But there's something more, something beyond that. Because when God spoke to Abraham there, as we see it in Genesis 12:3, it says, all peoples will be blessed through you. Paul clarifies that and really puts meaning to that in Galatians chapter 3 when he says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. And then he says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. Ultimately, the promised son is Christ, not Isaac. And then it's amazing what he says there, and it's recorded there in Hebrews 11. He says, listen again to what Abraham said about God. He says, because he considered him, God, faithful who had made the promise. He knew God to be faithful. And so Abraham trusted a God who could never be unfaithful. And promises made could not be unfulfilled. He knew where his faith was. It was faith in, Nothing to do with his feelings and how he felt at that moment, not the intensity of how much he was trying to come up with this faith. It was what his faith was in, the one who had shown himself over and over and over to be worthy of our trust. Continuing at verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The ultimate promise they held on to. See, the writer has more to say, but before he does, he pauses to emphasize some qualities that are found in Abraham and these other patriarchs. It says they all died without receiving the things promised, meaning the ultimate fulfillment. They never saw the promises fulfilled. Abraham saw his son born, definitely, but he never saw the great nation that it would become. Jacob and Joseph saw the nation grow, but never saw the Messiah who was promised to come. They only saw their own children or grandchildren, but they believed that God would continue to bring about the fulfillment of his promises. It says, yet they believed. They only saw things far into the distance. But what their faith did is it kind of served as a telescope to them that brought some of God's promises into view, so they were able to catch a glimpse and continue in hope of what could come and would come one day. But as I continue to go through here, and as I kept thinking through this whole thing, it really came down to how they saw themselves. And I think that's the very important point here in all of this. It says on more than one occasion, they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They saw themselves as foreigners. They were strangers living temporarily in a place that was not their real home. They remained tent dwellers, in a sense, who lived in the land as aliens and strangers. That's how they saw themselves. Because he says, the writer of Hebrews, people who say such things show they are looking for a country of their own. So they don't root themselves as if this is all there is. And I think we can see the point to that. If you root yourself here as if this is all there is, you see things differently. Life is done differently. There was a better country, a heavenly country. See, we read through here and the question just comes right at us in a very clear way. Do you know where your true citizenship is? And does the way you live align with that? So, if your citizenship, ultimately you say, oh, it's in heaven, is that the way you live? Or if you say, yeah, my citizenship is here, this is all there is, you live that way. God calls us all the time to just be a follower of his, to trust him. And I don't know about you, but I can look at different parts, times of my life where the excuses were abundant. I look at myself, the self-thoughts that go through my mind, the limitations. I say, well, I look at this, what other person can do, or I look at this, I read that, and I can't do that, and no, that only worked for those people, and so I don't do this, or I don't accomplish that, or I put this off, or put that off. We're very good at making excuses. Again, our feelings kick in, I just don't feel like I can do this, or this doesn't feel the right way to go, or this, again, the self-talk, whatever it is, or do we just trust God at his word? And that's the thing that I think we're called to all the time, is just trusting God. Because that's what we need to hold on to. So the questions come again, where are our eyes focused? Are our eyes kind of trajectory focused out that direction? Or are our eyes just kind of focused on this? Where are our feet headed? What's going on with their feet? Are they just kind of stuck in the muck and mire here? Or are they moving in the direction that steps out to follow God and where he's leading, following him? What about our hands? Just holding on, gripping on, clinging to the wrong things? Or are they about just lives of service given to God? He calls us to be about his work if we understand where things ultimately are going. To press on, to step out. And ultimately, Abraham and all these people in Hebrews chapter 11, they would probably always look at us and say, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it when you understand who has called you, who's alongside of you, who's in you, who's moving with you. It's worth it. And the God you trust is reliable. He means what he says, and he does what he promises. And he says, heaven ultimately is your home. And so we look at things in a different way. I want to end on a very good news thought. There's an incredibly interesting statement that's made at the last part there in verse 16. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. It's a beautiful statement. Because God sees us through the accomplished work of his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. See, God gives us his name. He puts his name on us in our baptism. And then to have him name us as one of his. There is no greater thing. And in one part of Scripture, he says, I am the God. And then he says of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he could just as easily say, I am the God of Jim Elmore. Or I am the God of, and you could actually put your name in there because of how God sees you now through what his Son Jesus did for you. If you just in simple childlike faith look to Christ and say, God, I need you. I need a Savior. I've sinned. I need forgiveness. I just need you. God says, I am proud. I am not ashamed to say that you are part of my family. And he names you as one of his. What, there could be no greater news. To know who you are in Christ. The final thought, you may not always know where you're going, but God does. God knows. And that's a great comfort. Abraham didn't truly know where he was going when God called him, but God knew. That's good news for us. To know whose we are and in whom our trust rests. Good news. And now may the